Loving obedience is saying, I love Jesus Christ, and it's a joy to obey Him, to trust Him, to follow Him, no matter the cost.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Beyond Conscience by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
Typically, I don't use movies to begin a sermon, but can you tell me which one this line comes from? What's a conscience? I'll tell you, a conscience is that still small voice that people won't listen to. That's just the trouble with the world today. Can anybody tell me what movie that came from? It comes from Pinocchio. It's Jiminy Cricket who is talking to Pinocchio, and the Blue Fairy has just turned him into, brought him to life. Now, what Christians do is that we take Jiminy Cricket and we convert him into the Holy Spirit. He is that still small voice that kind of sits somewhere in our brain that tells us, hey, you should not talk like that. You should not behave like that. But the Holy Spirit is much more than just our conscience. If you have your Bibles with you, John chapter 16, starting in verse 7, let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. What we're about to read is known as the farewell discourse of Jesus. Jesus is about to go to the cross. His 3.5 years with his disciples have come to a close. It is time for him to do what he came to do. And as he's talking to his disciples, they are troubled, they are grieved. And Jesus notices that and he tells them, hey guys, don't lose heart. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I'm not going to leave you orphans. In fact, I'm coming back to you even better. I'm sending someone to help you. And between John 13 and John 17, it's known as the farewell discourse, where he introduces the disciples and us to the Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bibles there, John chapter 16, verse 7 and 8, listen carefully. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper, the word is paraclete, and it's not just a helper, it's an advocate. We will see what that means in a few moments. The advocate will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He's not a thing, he's not a force, he's not a power. He is a person. Just as much as you are a person with a personality, with emotions, with feeling, with an intellect, with vision, with desires, so also the Holy Spirit, albeit he doesn't have a physical body, he is spirit. So keep in mind, the Holy Spirit is a he, not an it. But if I depart, I will send him to you, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? When you pray and ask Jesus not only to save you from your sins, but you also ask him to be your king, which means from this day on you're going to follow him no matter the cost. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. But if you say, I do have the Holy Spirit, I am saved, well, praise God for that. Are you grieving the Holy Spirit? Are you quenching him? You know, he's a person. When you do things in your life that are contrary to this book, when you disobey your Savior, Jesus Christ, you grieve him. Quenching him means he wants to work in your life. That's why he's there. But when you refuse to give in, I'm stubborn. I'm bullheaded. Well, in those moments, you are quenching him. Does the Holy Spirit have complete control of your life? You know, when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, people think of a glass and a pitcher. Fill me up, Lord. The Holy Spirit is not a drink of water. He's a person. Fill you up means he takes control of every inch of you, and you do what He wants you to do. You become a vessel for Him. And this morning, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, because He is not just someone on the sidelines. He is primary for the success and the growth of our church. Without the Holy Spirit, we would not be where we are today. Do you agree with that? Amen. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. But what is the work of the Holy Spirit? If you talk to people, they're all over the place. So this morning, we're going to see from the Word of God two things. Number one, some of the misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to look at the true mission of the Holy Spirit. Now keep in mind, we don't have time to exhaust everything about the Holy Spirit in this message. I mean, if we did that, we would be here for a whole year. There's just basically two things that are coming from John's farewell discourse given by Jesus. So let's look at it carefully. The first is the misconceptions people have. Some people think either the Holy Spirit is like a spiritual genie that you can summon at a moment's notice. Holy Spirit, I need you to come right now. Fill this place up, or fill this person with your presence. Or God, would you heal this person or heal that person? And they have an idea of the Holy Spirit as this genie who comes every time you call Him. The Holy Spirit is not a spiritual genie. Some people think He is like Jiminy Cricket. He's a little tiny voice who tells you, don't do this now. You know, you're going to pay for this one. God's not going to be happy with you. That's not true either. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, John chapter 13 through 17, we find out who He is. So let's look at some of these passages together. First one is John chapter 14 and verse 12. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples, His final words. He says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in Me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to My Father. Now what some people think is, when Jesus left, He did great stuff. We're going to do even greater things. Jesus had authority. We have way more authority than Jesus. Jesus fed the 5,000. You just wait. We're going to feed 50,000 people. Jesus healed a few blind. We're going to heal every blind person. Folks, when the Bible is talking about this, and when Jesus says the words, greater works than these He will do, look at it in its context. What exactly was Jesus talking about? If you rip it out of context, you're going to think you have the same power, or you can do whatever you want, or do greater things than Jesus. Not true. In fact, Jesus gives us certain conditions under which this promise in John 14, 12 is fulfilled. What is the promise? John 14, verse 13. The first condition is, whatever you ask in My name, that I will do. First condition of greater works is, you have to ask in Jesus' name. You know what it means to ask in Jesus' name? It's not just attaching this little formula after a prayer, in Jesus' name we pray. No, sir. What it means is this: God, I'm praying to You, and I'm praying with the assurance that Jesus is going to sign off on this. Now, I will tell you personally, 95% of my prayers, Jesus didn't sign off on them. Would you agree with that? How many of y'all's prayers did Jesus sign off on? 95%, I can tell you, thank God He didn't sign up on it, okay? Thank God He did not give me all that I wanted or who I wanted to be with. Praise the Lord, He said, you're a fool, I'm not signing off on that. What is the second condition? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. To be able to do these greater works, it's not about you and your comfort and your authority. It's so that God the Father would be glorified, but not just me and God the Father. Man, my life, I'm praying my life will glorify God. I want this business, Jesus. Help me to build this business so I can glorify You, God. No, don't you leave the Son out. And in the rest of the message, you're going to understand what I mean by through the Son. Because if what you're asking for is not going to glorify God the Father through Jesus Christ, don't expect greater works. But it's not done. Listen to verse 14. Jesus says again, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Again, what does it mean to be in my name? It means your will should be aligned with the will of Jesus. When people take this verse out of context and rip it out and they walk around saying, we can do greater things. Greater things. Jesus promised. No, he promised under certain conditions. Jesus has to sign off on them. Father needs to be glorified through the Son. Your will and Jesus' will need to be aligned. He's not done. Here comes number four. If you love me, keep my commandments. The fourth condition is loving obedience. Not grudging obedience. Oh, man, I got to obey Jesus. You know, I'm doing the best I can. But I'm going to try to obey him. But that's not loving obedience. Neither it is, man, I love Jesus. You know, he knows my heart. And he knows right now I'm not where I need to be. But he knows my heart. But that's not obedience. That's just excuses. Loving obedience is saying, I love Jesus Christ. And it's a joy to obey him. To trust him. To follow him. No matter the cost. When these conditions are met, then something happens. It's not like, oh, I've met condition one, number one, condition two, condition three, condition four. Okay, bring on the greater works. Let's go. We got the authority. Oh, no, far from that. Listen to what Jesus says next in verse 16. And then I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Means someone else is going to come. And who is the someone else? Helper. The word is paraclete. And it's hard to translate that word. It has a legal tone behind it. It's like an attorney. A legal counsel. Someone to lead you, to guide you, to speak for you. You know, when you're in a court case or something like that, your attorney will tell you, look, we're going to go in there and you let me do the talking. I'm going to handle all the details. You just sit tight. I will take care of this. That has somewhat of the idea behind the helper, the paraclete, the advocate. What Jesus is saying to his disciples is this. Guys, I know your hearts are troubled, and I know you are sorrowful that I have to go away. But listen, you're going to do greater things. This is not the end. You're going to do mightier stuff. But there are certain conditions that have to be met. You have to lovingly obey me. You have to glorify the Father through the Son. Your will needs to be aligned with my will. All these things are going to happen. But listen very carefully. Then I am going to be sending someone who is the Holy Spirit. Let me explain it this way. Imagine a branch manager of some business, some establishment. He has a team. Some of y'all work in a situation like that. He has a team, and his team has been performing well. Man, their profits are off the chart, and they're doing great. Everything is wonderful. And he comes to them one day and says, look, guys, they're transferring me. I'm going to be going to another branch. And you can imagine the whole team is like, what? I can't believe it, man. We'll do anything for you. And our profits are high, and we're doing wonderful stuff. Why are they changing things? He's like, wait. It's not negative that I'm going away. If I don't go away, the next level of growth in this business is not going to come. So I have to go, but guess what? You guys are going to do even greater stuff because the new branch manager is coming. And guess who the new branch manager is? He is someone that I have personally handpicked. And the owner loves him because the owner is endorsing him as well. So listen, guys, don't worry. Don't sweat. When this new branch manager comes, you guys are going to flourish and thrive. Greater things will happen. Now here's a question to you. What if one of those individuals around the table were to say things like, we don't need another branch manager. We have the same authority. We're going to do it. What would the branch manager say? He's like, no, wait a minute. The reason you're going to do greater things is because the branch manager is coming, not through your own authority. Folks, you and I have no authority but what God gives us. When people walk around thinking as if they can make things happen and call things that are not as if they are, and heal people and do miracles from their own power and summon the Holy Spirit as if he's a spiritual genie, you are talking about something else that is not biblical. Because Jesus did not promise us this authority on our own. And you cannot use the Holy Spirit to do what you want him to do. Listen to verse 17. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit is not your conscience. He is not a spiritual genie of the lamp that you can call and say, come on, I want you to perform for me. That's why in many churches they do that. Man, we're going to call the Holy Spirit down. You're going to call the Holy Spirit down? How? Challenge him to come down? How are you going to make him do those things? Just by speaking, well, in Jesus' name, man, I got the authority. You got no authority. What are you talking about? You're not the manager. He is. He summons you down. You don't summon him down. But neither is he your conscience, the little tiny voice in your head. The Holy Spirit is much more. By the way, every person in this world has a conscience. What is a conscience? It is a moral code that God has placed in every person. No matter who you are, where you come from, there's a moral code. You have it. You know why you have it? Because you're made in the image of God. That's how you have a moral code. It is there in every individual, but you can cover it up. And you can change it if you want to. The Holy Spirit is not a conscience because every person, what did Jesus say? The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Where am I going with this? Because many of you are operating by a Jiminy Cricket, not the Holy Spirit. You're operating by a moral code and you think, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven because, man, you know, when I say a curse word, man, it just kind of bothers me at times. Do you really think that because you say a curse word and it bothers you that you are saved and you have the Holy Spirit? That's not the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's purpose is not just to tell you, you know, that was not a nice thing to do. Four things that he said about the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit does. Number one, he points us to Jesus and his words. Listen to what Jesus said in John 14 and verse 26. But the helper, who is the helper? The advocate, that legal counsel who is with you, who intercedes for you. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance, read with me, all things that I said to you. Now Jesus was talking to his disciples, the first disciples. How do you and I know all things that Jesus has said to us? Where do we find them? In the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Listen, dear friends. When it comes to the Holy Spirit's work in your life, the first work that Jesus said he's going to do is remind us of the words of Jesus Christ. The words of Jesus Christ are right here in the Gospels. Now, the whole Bible is the word of Christ, but more specifically, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are the words of Jesus Christ. So when the Holy Spirit begins to work in your life, he is reminding you of these words. Now, to be reminded, guess what? You need to know these words. When was the last time you opened your Bible and you read them? Oh, I want the Holy Spirit to work in my life. Are you reading the building blocks of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Nah. Oh, I went to church this Sunday. Yeah. I went to Sunday school too. Now, I was a little late. I had to leave a little early, but I was there. You know, the Holy Spirit cannot work in your life apart from the Gospels. When was the last time you opened the Gospels and read the words of Christ? What is His purpose again? Get that verse back up there. When the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. That's His first job. You don't read this book? The Holy Spirit has nothing to work with in your life. But here's number two. What else will He do? He will come to bear witness of Jesus. Now, this is all Jesus is telling us. I'm not making this up. He is introducing the Holy Spirit to His disciples and also to us. Verse 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. Testify means to bear witness. Everywhere He goes, He's going to tell the world that there is Jesus. And what do we do in the process? Listen to the very next verse, verse 27. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me and from the beginning. What does the Holy Spirit do? I hear people say, man, the Holy Ghost was all over me. Folks, we have come up with traditions and ideas and used them so often to justify our feelings and our behavior. Now we have come up with things that they're not even biblical. He's all over you? No. When He comes, He reminds you the words of Christ. For you and I to be reminded, you have to first read them. Then He testifies to the world about Jesus. Listen to the third thing the Holy Spirit does. He convicts the world of what Jesus has done. Now, this is a little deep. Stay with me. Listen to what Jesus said in John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, which is the Advocate, better translation, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. Now listen carefully. And when He has come, He will do three things. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now the Jewish people, those disciples, knew what sin was. Sin was going against God. Righteousness is what God is. Judgment is one day they're going to be judged. They're going to have to give an account for how they lived under the Jewish law, under the Ten Commandments. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is going to redefine sin and righteousness and judgment. Listen to verse 9. Of sin because they do not believe in me. What is the Holy Spirit going to do? He is going to tell the world that they are rejecting Jesus. Sin, folks, is not, I lie sometimes, and yeah, I cursed the other day, or I looked at pornography, or, you know, I cheated on my taxes, I sinned. A sin, ultimately, is rejection of Jesus Christ. You know what the Holy Spirit is doing right now in the world? Telling people to accept Jesus Christ. Rejecting Him will send them to hell. What else does the Holy Spirit do? Convicts the world of righteousness. Jesus said, what is righteousness? Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. What is true righteousness? True righteousness is what Jesus has brought to us. You know what the Holy Spirit is doing? He's telling the world through you. You are the mouth of the Holy Spirit. That if they want righteousness, they have to come to Jesus Christ, receive Him, and now righteousness is placed on their account. It's not me. Is Christ in me? What's the third thing the Holy Spirit is going to do? He's going to convict the world of judgment. What does this mean? Because the ruler of this world is judged. The third thing the Holy Spirit is doing is telling the world through us that Satan no longer has power and control over people. You know, people walk around saying, man, I know I did something wrong, but the devil made me do it. You know what we've done? We've taken what the Word of God says, threw it away, and recreated a whole new Holy Spirit. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if your Holy Spirit doesn't line up with what I'm preaching from this book, it's time for you to confess to God and say, God, for whatever reason, I'm not here to blame people, but I was misled. Because meet the real Holy Spirit. If you have a Holy Spirit that gets you to do anything other than bring you closer to Jesus, you have the wrong spirit. That's why people go, I've had people come to Clearview and say, man, I went over there. I mean, it's good and all, but I just didn't feel it. I'm like, what do you want to feel? What did you come to feel? I just wanted to feel. Brother, yeah, I think you got the wrong Holy Spirit, because that's not the one we preach here. The Holy Spirit that Jesus is talking about is completely different. He is focused on Christ. He's bringing people to Christ. He's convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And one thing more, he will complete what Jesus has begun. Now listen to John 16:12. Jesus is speaking still. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Please listen very carefully. How does he bring to mind the words of Jesus? When you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and when you stay in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit uses what you have placed inside, and he brings it to your memory. Especially when you're facing difficult times. Especially when you're facing times of temptation, he brings it to you. What is the rest of this? What is all the truth? Start going from the book of Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, the pastoral letters, John's letters, and the book of Revelation, the things to come. Folks, you don't need something extra out there. It's right here. It's right here. This is what the Holy Spirit uses. This is the truth about Jesus Christ. The rest of the story has already been written for us. What's the point I'm making? The Holy Spirit is not something other than Jesus. It's not some other truth other than the Bible. He is centered, he is focused upon Jesus Christ. And his purpose is to magnify Jesus Christ. His goal is to magnify his word. His ultimate vision is to help you grow in Christ.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. The Holy Spirit is so much more than just our conscience or some mysterious force. He is God. And as believers, he lives within us, helps to guide us, and points us back to Christ. Trust in God for salvation, receive the Holy Spirit, and glorify him with your life. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.